Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Dr. Niall Breen, who is a GP at the Port Marnock GP Clinic, is with me here in studio this Monday afternoon for Ask the GP. Niall, good afternoon. Everything's?
Yeah, going very well, thank you.
Whatever your medical questions, queries, if you're looking for free doctor's advice, you can send it into his WhatsApp number, 087 1400 106, and Niall is here to answer them for you. Are we into flu season actually yet? Are we? Is that kicked off?
It is, and a lot of people will be getting texts and things from their GPs to book in for their vaccine. So the criteria are wider than ever this year. Mm. So most people who would like to get it should be able to get it without a charge. Most. Now, some won't kind of meet the criteria. But yeah, we're definitely in kind of cold season and upper airways and lower kind of respiratory tract infections. Yeah.
And for people that are maybe concerned or have concerns about vaccines or the flu vaccine, what would you say to them?
Yeah, look, we acknowledge those. I just always remind people that if we're giving somebody a medicine and it's to prevent something, or we're giving them a vaccine and it's to prevent something like the flu, the bar for the evidence of that being safe and appropriate is so, so high. And things like vaccines are checked and rechecked and rechecked constantly. And I'd say in my own practice, I have given thousands and thousands, and I get it every year myself. Mm. And I don't think I have ever seen an adverse reaction more than just a bit of discomfort at the injection site. So I'm a real vaccine advocate, I would encourage people definitely to get it if they're interested in getting it.
Okay, listener question, Niall. I'm on a wait list for a blood test for a year and a half and initially was on a private wait list to see the haematologist. My referral was triaged. I was told it wasn't urgent and they would eventually call me for a consultation. Then my GP called me 2 months ago to say they got a notification from a private hospital to say that they weren't going to take any new patients unless it's urgent. So I'm now in the public system waiting to be called. Should I go back to the GP for another blood test via them, or what do I do in order to get my bloods tested again?
Firstly, they may not need to get their bloods tested. If their GP has referred them to a haematologist, it's usually because he or she has seen something that they're maybe unsure of. Now, if I see something on a blood test that I'm very worried about, I'll usually mark that as urgent and give a good reason for why I'm referring it. So it's frustrating for that person if their referral has kind of been sort of quashed or put back to the GP. I would consider looking maybe a bit further afield and getting a referral to a different place potentially, but I'm not sure what further blood testing with their own doctor would do necessarily in this case.
Listener says, I've been with my GP for over 20 years, but I can no longer continue due to excessive fear. He often jumps to worst case scenarios, causing unnecessary stress. For example, would diagnosing tennis elbow as bone cancer, a trapped nerve as MS, colitis as bowel cancer, etc., etc. I find the worry really overwhelming. Unfortunately, all of the local practices are closed to new patients, so I feel I can't move. But have you any advice? That's quite surprising.
Yeah, that's a really interesting query. Any GP who's been practicing for over 20 years will certainly know how to live with uncertainty. And we see 25, 30 patients per day. A lot of those things we can handle and we can manage in-house. Occasionally we need to send things out. If somebody is kind of jumping to the sort of conclusion that the worst is happening, then perhaps that's an indication that the relationship has broken down somewhat, and it might be an idea for the person to even cast the net a little bit wider again and just see if there are GPs in other towns that are taking people on. It's certainly one of the strangest questions that I think anybody has ever asked here. I have obviously many, many, many GP colleagues, and I cannot think of any of them who are practicing for a long period of time who would catastrophize to that extent. But if all local practices are closed to new patients and this person can't move, and they feel that the relationship is just gone because of, as they described it, excessive fear, then I think I would look a bit further afield.
087 1400 106, that's the WhatsApp number if you've a medical question for Dr. Niall Breen. This listener says, I've been taking 50 milligram tablets, Q10, is that right? Is that the quantity or is that the name of them?
I think it's coenzyme Q10,
Tablets, one a day for about a month, also taking statin 5 milligrams. Is it okay to continue with the Q10 tablets from the health shop long term? I feel they're excellent for muscle pain. Please and thank you.
I would say it probably is.
What are they, first of all?
It's not a prescription medicine, okay, as far as I'm aware. It's coenzyme Q10 is, I suppose, a food supplement that some people will take for a wide variety of things. Now, if this person finds that it's very good for muscle aches, the mention of the statin there might be an implication that the statin causes muscle aches in this person. I'm not really sure. I think I don't see a particular issue with it, but I think the next time you're getting your prescription filled for your statin, I would just double check that with your pharmacist and just make sure that you're getting your liver function tested as regularly as you should be with your own GP.
Listeners got in touch with me here actually on Instagram to ask about cortisol and what is it. They say that they feel that they've put on weight, they're finding it difficult to lose weight at the moment, that they feel agitated on a frequent basis, and their social media account constantly throws up videos with health professionals and practitioners talking about their cortisol levels. I don't really know much about it. Can you explain what it is?
Yeah, so cortisol is a naturally produced hormone, and it's produced by all of us. And I get these ads as well.
Yeah,
on Instagram.
I get them all the time too, actually.
I do. This and dopamine and I don't know where they come from.
Yeah.
So patients will regularly ask us, can we measure cortisol levels? And it's kind of complicated to describe it, but it's like a natural steroid that we produce. And the only way you can accurately measure cortisol is by doing a thing called a synactin test. And they're usually only done in the hospital. That's where they take your cortisol level, they give you an injection of something, ACTH, which stimulates the production of cortisol, and then they look at your response to that. So the endocrinologists don't tend to thank us if we just do random cortisol levels because they aren't generally accurate. Low cortisol levels can lead to a thing called Addison's disease, which you probably have heard of, but it's extremely rare. In general practice, I certainly don't tend to test for cortisol. It's one of those things that it sometimes can kind of coexist with people who have other endocrinology complaints and other sort of hormone and other kind of transmitter deficiencies and so on. But it is one of those things that has really caught the zeitgeist. I don't quite understand why.
Yeah.
It's not
something. I see it on TikTok a lot, actually.
Yeah. Oh, I would say anytime I go onto Instagram, within the first kind of few things that I see, it'll be something asking me about my sleep or my energy or about my cortisol.
Yeah.
So I can see absolutely why people are asking the question about this.
So it's not typically something you go to your GP and ask to get tested for?
No, what happens is somebody might come to us and advise that they're feeling really kind of tired all the time. And we would have a usual sort of a way of appraising that. And there was a really interesting trial done for people who are saying that they're tired all the time called the Vampire Trial. I think it was about 15 or 16 years ago. I think it may have been across the UK or Netherlands or Europe or somewhere. And it showed that when we get somebody who's tired all the time and we do a whole battery of bloods, that we only usually get a cause about 1.5 to 2% of the time. So again, I can't tell somebody that their cortisol levels are okay. I do know the cortisol levels fluctuate. I think if that person is feeling really tired or feeling wrecked or exhausted, it's worth going in and sitting down with your doctor and having a chat about that.
Just on the topic of tiredness, can you please ask Niall about poor sleep? My sleep goes in cycles, always circles back to insomnia. I have been referred to a sleep study to rule out sleep apnea, but the waiting list is enormous despite having private health insurance.
Yeah, and again, people who are having difficulty sleeping, it's something that crops up very, very regularly. And unfortunately, a lot of the solutions are kind of a bit boring, but it's making sure that you're maybe not using screens just before you go to bed, reducing your tea and coffee intake during the day, watching the amount of sugar that you're eating, making sure you're getting enough exercise. Occasionally, if somebody's really struggling with insomnia, I might give them a few sleeping tablets just to take for 2 or 3 days in a row to try and get the sleep back in order. But sleeping tablets carry a significant risk as well. So we have to be very, very careful about those.
And just very finally, Niall, this listener is wondering about birth control pills and whether or not they have any effect on your sex drive.
Yes, there would be evidence, all right, that sometimes people would say that if they're taking birth control pills, which would be the oral contraceptive pill, usually the combined pill, that can reduce libido. And sometimes patients will come in when we're renewing their pill and that will be something that they'll tell us. So it depends really to what extent that's affecting their life. If it's a significant effect on their life, then we might look at either changing the pill or changing the method of contraception for them.
Okay, so she's wondering, does it suppress sex drive typically. So in some cases it can.
It certainly can. Okay. It doesn't always. I think it's something that we see around 10% of the time, but I would need to double check that.
So go back to your GP for...
Potentially, if it's something that's bothering this person, yes, yeah. I would.
Okay. Dr. Niall Breen from the Port Marnock GP Clinic. Niall, thanks a million, as always, for joining us here.
Thank you.
On this Monday afternoons, Ask the GP here in Lunchtime Live. If you want to get in touch, if you have questions, queries, but anything we've been chatting about, you can drop us an email, lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.